Hello, Avani Dias here. This is the Hack Podcast, and on this episode, it's the shakeup where we talk about all the big stories from the week. And we're going to be discussing the quote, whiny and self-entitled young people. Yes, that's how some pub owners actually referred to our generation. Black Friday sales and when they get dodgy. And the crown. Here's what's coming up.
Hack. What do you mean you don't have work-life balance?
Black Friday sales starting this week.
The crown has got everyone talking this past week.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we've got two amazing guests in the studio as well. Actor Remy, he is here to get us to the weekend. How are you going?
Hey, Av. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me back.
Yeah, and we've also got Jade Gailberger, who is a political reporter for News Corp. How's it going in Parliament House?
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Let's talk about, those pub owners.
Hack. What do you mean you don't have work-life balance?
On Triple J.
All right, think about your boss, who you work hard for, going on a podcast and saying you're whiny and self-entitled. That's what the owners of a bunch of Sydney pubs, the Mary's Group, have done, and people have been pretty angry about it this week. They said their generation of hospitality workers had it way harder than this one, and that there's now been an overcorrection and young people have it easy. Call me. How did you feel about those comments? Are young people actually whiny and self-entitled? I want to hear from you, especially if you work in hospitality in this year that we've had. 1300 055 36. Give me a call. A bit of a language warning on the next couple of minutes.
Hack.
You fucking 22-year-old did not fucking experience the abuse. So don't talk to me about historical abuse because you didn't see it. I'm the last generation that fucking felt it and saw it. I think it's probably our fault. To be honest, it's probably our fault. We're probably sitting there, we're not going to deal with chefs like that, and then we're encouraged all these little fucking whining fucking... I tell you what they don't have. They don't have a life.
Get a fucking life, bro.
You know, like, that's the problem. They don't have a life because you tell you what, you barely got to work and you're not going to have fuck all in a minute. But it's true. Like, what do you mean you don't have work-life balance? 32 hours a week. You've got to do something.
We, as employers, have a huge amount of responsibility to the young people who we employ. And we were talking about a very small minority of attitudes that exist within a very small minority of people. I absolutely am a champion of work-life balance, and the Mary's Group is an absolute champion of work-life balance. With people.
So why did you make those comments on the podcast?
Because I feel like there is an element where people do need to actually take personal responsibility for their own work-life balance, and it's not just the responsibility of the employer.
On Triple J.
Yeah, give me a ring. How did you feel hearing those comments, especially if you're a hospitality worker? But this is something that happens a fair bit now, you know, older people criticising younger people. 1300 055 36. Remy, have you ever worked in hospitality?
I have, actually. One of my first jobs was working in a cafe in my teenage years. Yeah. I have to say, like, I'm extremely disappointed to hear these comments from the guys on the podcast. I think my eyes just about rolled into the back of my head, to be honest. It's just such a lazy and tired trope, isn't it? Trying to push this narrative again that, like, millennials are some kind of, you know, an entitled group of people. And I just don't think it holds any water with me.
Yeah, Jade, it's a classic thing that comes up every now and again, right? What does it do for the gap between young and old people?
I don't think it helps the gap at all. I think exactly like Remy said, it's just so easy to fall into that narrative of, you know, they don't work as hard. Oh, it was like a lot harder back in my day. I had it worse. Where I think, you know, it might take a little bit more effort, but people could actually learn from each other. You know, the older generation could learn from the younger generation and both have something to offer.
Totally. Natalie from Melbourne, how did you feel about it?
I just think it's a bit ridiculous that older people who set the tone for the workplace for the newcomers and who raised us, they've put in these new environments to make it better for us, and now they're complaining that we want those good stuff, that good stuff.
Totally. It's like they fought to make things better and now it's like we can't have it. It's weird, right?
They're just saying, you know, well, if you're having it this good and I didn't have it that good, then why should I, you know, allow that?
Yeah.
It's just a lot of envy on their part.
Natalie, do you feel that divide at your workplace between you and your older workers?
A little bit, but I'm very lucky. I work with a team of people my age usually, so Yeah, it's pretty good.
Totally. Byron from Ocean Shores, what did you think about the comments?
I think it raises some interesting points, actually.
Yeah? How so?
I think, you know, we were built on the whole Aussie battler thing. And I feel like we've kind of lost that a little bit along the way. And, you know, maybe people are kind of like taking advantage and gotten a little soft.
What do you mean by the whole Aussie battler thing? How has that sort of changed over time, do you think?
I just feel like, you know, a lot of people older than us and maybe in that generation did work a lot harder and, you know, maybe just dug their heels in a little bit more and really just kind of got stuck into it. And, you know, I think he went a bit over the line with what he said and how far he took it. But I do feel like a lot of younger people do have it a little easier and they maybe take advantage of it sometimes.
But like, how do we have it easier though? I mean, like the Aussie battler, are we bringing Gallipoli into our back of houses again of our bars?
No, not at all. Nothing like that. But I mean, you know, just putting your head down and doing the work and, you know, like 32-hour week for me sounds like, you know, a pretty good work-life balance.
Totally fair enough, Byron. Thanks so much for calling in. Someone's texted, I've just recently moved to the city from the country. And it's true, I have noticed that the younger generation just simply don't want to work hard at all. It's interesting that, yeah, some young people feeling this vibe as well. What do you think this does in terms of that big debate, Jade, in terms of workers' rights and how young people are treated in the workplace? Because, you know, a lot of young people, especially after COVID, are saying, I'm in a really crappy job with insecure hours and it's pretty unstable.
Yeah, I think you make a great point about the coronavirus pandemic really bringing to the forefront workers' rights. We saw all throughout it when there was lockdowns, industry shutdowns, that people's rights, whether it came to sick leave or, you know, being forced to take annual leave when, like, an industry shuts down, really got questioned. And I think one of the things to come from this is that we are actually having a conversation about it now. I shouldn't have taken a global pandemic for us to, you know, consider who's entitled to what, but the reality is it has. And now we've got unions and government working together. There's working groups. They're talking about industrial relations reform to actually get some of those improvements and, you know, see what people need and what we can actually negotiate so that things are better off and people are safer in the long term.
Are they doing that much, though, on a government level, considering, you know, this week Victoria introduced sick leave, 5 days of sick leave for casual workers, but the federal government then said, you know, this shouldn't be something that's taxing employers in Melbourne when, you know, they've had such a tough year. So is the federal government doing much to actually provide those rights?
Yeah, it's funny you talk about the divide between Victoria and the federal government. There was obviously a lot going on through those hard lockdowns there and a lot of snarky comments made. But there has actually been working groups happening with the Attorney General, with the ACTU. There's been industry involved. They've been working for a few months now on like quite a few different areas. And some of those conversations are about to come up in the next week. We've got Parliament sitting for another fortnight. You know, there's no doubt that, you know, these kind of changes won't pass, you know, before the end of the year. They'll obviously be presented. Labor will have to work through them. So with a crossbench and have a real look. But I think, you know, when we come back next year in terms of Parliament, those issues will be right at the forefront and we will start to see some movement and some changes on workers' rights.
Mo is on the line. So you run a couple of cafes. So how did you feel about your young staff and what those comments that were made by the pub owners?
I mean, you know, young staff have got their own set of challenges, but I find them incredibly resilient and I find them extremely highly skilled across the board, especially with communication. So with our cafes, they're really good in the service role of meeting and greeting customers and taking their orders. But a couple of things we've done that have been really proactive is, first of all, we banned phones, and the reason why is because obviously they disrupt everyone. But the rule is, if you ask and you use a phone, it's 99% of the time going to be yes.
So you mean workers can't use the phones?
Yeah, they can't use their phone while they're working. So if they want to use their mobile phone, they ask permission and we'll say yes. And it's just, you know, just protocol. So that's worked really well. Obviously, they can use their phone when they're on their break and things like that. But, yeah, I find young staff incredibly resilient and incredibly skilled. Like, it goes back to the saying of, you know, when I was their age, I was eating dirt. You know, these guys are at uni full time. You know, they're working. They're, you know, they've got a driver's license. They're driving a car. I didn't have my shit together when I was their age. Yeah. You know, sort of 16 to 18.
Oh, you sound like a great boss, Mo.
Oh, you know, we all have our moments, but we've always discussed it, myself and the leadership group. So, you know, and with one of the biggest rules we've had, which is getting used a lot recently, is the 5-minute rule. So if any staff member, regardless of their age, needs 5 minutes to chill out, we shout them a drink, coffee, tea, whatever it is, and off they go for 5 minutes. You're getting paid the whole time, and it just means that, you know, when you're getting absolutely flogged, especially during, you know, lunch service and things like that, they've got the ability to step back, take a few breaths. They're getting paid.
Totally.
They can go to the bathroom after that. We don't care if it takes them 10 or 15 minutes to get back. And it's about support and understanding and compassion. And, you know, we've had our moments.
Here you go. Like, myself. I think hospo workers, honestly, in our country, are some of the hardest working young people you'll find around. At least in my experience, my friends that I know, and you know, you step into Mary's, those guys are flogged half the time. So I don't really know where these guys are sort of getting off. And especially the year that we've just had, where young workers, and especially people in hospitality who have just had their industries ripped out from under them. A lot of people, you know, struggling to make rent, trying to find those shifts, to kind of have this kind of narrative thrust again out there in the media is kind of an insult to an injury.
Totally. Mo, thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of young people listening being like, can I
get a job with you?
Abby, so you actually do marketing for a beauty company. How do you feel about this whole chat about young workers and, you know, that divide?
Well, I think I'm actually in a bit of a minority because I'm actually 23 and I'm head of marketing for a massive beauty company, Australian beauty company. So I think, and I've had, you know, team members that are 10, 15 years older than me and people who are the same age as me. I think it honestly comes down to the support that you're giving your team at the end of the day and different people's personalities. Some people have a different work ethic to others, and you really can't put an age on that. And I think another thing that people don't realise now is that everything is so digital. And for example, in my role, I work 24/7. I don't switch off. And everyone that is in marketing, regardless of the industry, you're never switching off. And that takes a massive toll on your mental health. And even though, you know, there are, you know, seems to be less sort of physical work that a lot of people are doing, that it's our generation, it's still taking a toll on your mental health one way or another. It's just in a different way.
And to that point, Abby, I mean, you know, one big thing that got people annoyed, you know, when the Mary's Group guys came on the show even earlier this week, they were going on about mental health and how young people should take responsibility for their own mental health. And, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, some people don't feel comfortable going up to their boss and saying, hey, I need a mental health day, especially if you're a casual worker and that kind of thing. And they said, well, you know, you do need to take agency over your own mental health as a young worker. So what do you think of that argument, Abby? Because some people do agree with that.
When I was listening to him, I was thinking in my head, what he's trying to say is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I think that's sort of the point that he was trying to put across. But the thing is that if you're, it's the way that you're doing it. If you're coming across to someone in a passive aggressive way and saying, you know, what's wrong with you? Maybe you need to take 5 minutes, or maybe you need to do this. It makes people feel like they're wrong for needing to do so. So, you know, when I meet with my girls once a week and I talk to them all the time, we have a level of friendship, and I know what's going on in their personal life because I have to understand. If I expect them to be doing things outside of work or whatever it is, I need to understand what is happening with them. 24/7.
Totally.
And they need to be able to say to me, you know, oh, I've got this happening at the moment, so I'm a little bit flat today. And I say, not a problem. If you need anything, let me know. But it's actually about opening that communication rather than just saying, here's this if you need it, go to HR if you need to, but not actually checking in on them.
Abby, you're 23 and you're a manager of a team and doing amazing stuff. It's pretty astonishing that you're so young but so level-headed. Thank you so much for calling in. The text line is going absolutely off on this. Someone says, if I quit my job, will Mo hire me? What a boss of a boss. Mo was definitely a boss. Indiana says, what a legend. Mo for PM. Wow, this is just the Mo show now. Like
Mo 2020.
Yeah. Someone else, I'm a millennial retail manager and agree with those pub owners 100%. Dave from Breezy says, working an office job currently, but my first job in hospo was so much harder and so much more stressful. Jade, you know, what do you think needs to happen here to create more security for young workers? Because this is the root of all of this, right? You know, young workers perhaps not feeling like they have rights at work, maybe not responding by not working hard enough, according to some employers, or working too hard, according to some young people. I mean, what do we need to do to kind of bridge that gap between the two generations?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point. And I think we've just heard even from Abby and Mo. I mean, you know, somebody that they're both in leadership positions and yet, you know, one's probably a little bit older than the other. And it just shows that I think what we need to, one, what Abby said, having these open conversations, we need to feel like you can have those kind of dialogues to actually help people and to show a bit of empathy. I mean, both of them talked about how, you know, being understanding, do you need a break? All of those kind of things. And I think if people are more open about it, then we will be able to actually do this. But if you continue to have, you know, older generations saying, you know, it wasn't like this in my day and you've got it so easy, then like we're never going to get anywhere. Totally. Like we're just going to keep going around in circles. So yeah, we really need to, you know, people need to take a step up, both from like the young people and the old people that are in these leadership positions and make places a culture that we can all like grow.
Totally. Douglas on the text line says, I'm young. I just knocked off a 15-hour shift, 2-hour drive, home now, bush mechanic fixing an excavator, out in the 30-degree heat. That whingy stigma is total bullshit.
Hack. They need to commit to improving their purchasing practices, ensuring that the supply chain has reduced the level of risk to human rights abuses.
On Triple J.
Yeah, so today is Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving in the US, where there are huge sales. And it's now become a custom here in Australia as well. That's on top of the good old Boxing Day sales that we've got as well. But when you're shopping for a bargain, do you think about whether the companies you're giving your money to are ethical? Call me, 1300 055 36. This week, an Oxfam report ranked 10 major Australian brands from best to worst in terms of exploitation of foreign garment workers, mainly in Bangladesh. So the Just Group, which oversees brands like Dottie, Just Jeans, Peter Alexander, as well as the Mosaic Group, which includes Rivers, they were found to be the worst, while H&M was ranked the best. And today is actually the most profitable day for Amazon, but heaps of groups are calling for people to boycott it because it's accused of exploiting workers as well. Call me. How do you feel about Black Friday sales, especially in these sorts of companies? 1300 055 36.
Hack.
If you're looking to bag a bargain, now's the time.
Although a number of brands have made really strong commitments, there's still a way to go in ensuring that actually the deals that are done on the ground with the factories protect wages for women.
Black Friday is the beginning of our Christmas period and we're looking for a big one.
They need to commit to improving their purchasing practices. Whilst the commitment to living wages is outstanding and we commend the brands that have taken that step, it does risk being simply lip service unless we also see a commitment to transparent changes.
This is really going to sort of accelerate that Christmas shopping that we've all been looking forward to, and certainly retailers have been as well.
What is your advice for people who are thinking about getting into these sales?
Google what she makes, have a look, find out how your favourite brands stack up, and commit to action. If you find a brand that you're fond of, you want to shop at, but you see no such commitment, let them know it matters.
On Triple J.
Remy, are you into the sales?
I love a good sale. Who doesn't? Yeah, no, I think, you know, Black Friday, it's something that we've kind of imported over from America, but I always get really excited about it. Who, you know, who doesn't? But I think that kind of steering the conversation into the ethics of which companies we actually go and buy stuff from is a really, really valuable conversation to have, especially now, like when we have access to all this information. We know which companies are doing good. And if we don't, we can find out so easily. So there's kind of no excuse not to.
Totally. Kelly's on the line. So you're an ethical fashion designer. How do you feel about Black Friday and Boxing Day sales?
I probably am more confused about the Black Friday sales because as a small maker and designer, especially after what's happened in 2020
yeah.
with everybody and the fashion industry has just been slammed big time by the COVID-19 pandemic. But more about what happens environmentally as well. So when people are just purchasing for the sake of purchasing, the whole supply chain right through from where the fibre is grown or whatever the beginning fibre or the, you know, plastics or whatever it is that goes right through to manufacturing, right through to massive sales where companies are making, you know, humongous amounts of product.
That's such an interesting point. And then it's going
to sell. And then it goes, eventually it goes to landfill. So if people are just going crazy on sales, they're actually, in a way, they're actually destroying the livelihoods and the industry of the people that work in those industries.
Sure. Yeah, so, definitely. Kelly, thanks so much for calling in. That is such an interesting point that Kelly made, Jade, because, I was reading about the fact that, you know, heaps of discount stores have actually pushed this trend of everyone wanting to buy cheap stuff now. Do you feel that?
Yeah, it's definitely the case. I mean, you even saw with the rise with a few department stores over the past few years, products are just getting cheaper and cheaper. But I think, you know, it is up to the consumer to look at that product and think, hey, well, you know, if I can buy this T-shirt for $5, you know, how long did it really take to make it and to source those products? And is this the right decision? Or should I look into it and actually make some kind of informed decisions about where these products are coming from? So you can make the right choices.
You know what was actually really interesting in this Oxfam report was that they found even if some clothes are expensive, it doesn't mean they're always sustainably made, which is pretty surprising, actually.
Yeah, I think it's one of those points where people have really got to like look into it. And I think social media has played a big role in terms of like the internet and people being able to actually say, hey, well, you know, let's start a conversation with some of these stores that, you know, once were only like bricks and mortar. Now we can say to them, hey, where do you get your cotton from? Or how did you source this product? And it's up to them to actually be transparent about it. And if they're not, then consumers can choose to shop elsewhere.
Molly in Newcastle says, I'm working today in Black Friday sales and I honestly had no idea how to explain to customers what it was today when they asked. Yet it has been super busy in the entire shopping centre. Although I work in one of those large Australian department stores, I don't feel as though it's ethical at all and kind of makes me feel sorry for small business owners as well. Yeah, we just heard from Kelly who said that it's a bit of a struggle. Trish, what do you think about Black Friday sales?
Yeah, I totally agree with those last few concerns. I think that it just encourages hyper-consumerism and, you know, extra purchasing where you may not otherwise be spending your money. And I think that us as consumers, we need to be mindful of the, you know, ethical and also environmental impacts our spending.
Totally. Do you shop in the sales or do you just avoid them because of that fact?
I've never really been interested in them. I think, you know, I would buy something if I was planning on purchasing it anyway, but I don't think I would go out of my way and spend my money unnecessarily on shit that I don't need. Sorry.
I feel like we should all take a leaf out of Trish's book and not buy stupid stuff we don't need, I guess. I feel like it does encourage you to do that though, right, Remy?
It does. It does. But no, I'm kind of also in the same camp where it's like I kind of know what I want in advance and I try and kind of plan it because otherwise, like I'm not a really big hoarder. I'm not a big collector of junk. At least I try not to be. I really, really
picturing your house, you're like surrounded by just like useless junk, you know?
No, I try and live a very Marie Kondo life here, which I think, we can probably all, take notice of. Thanks, Marie. But, you know, I think that's so interesting as well, this idea of landfill and especially fast fashion and stuff that, you know, we buy and we turn over so quickly. And then that leads into things like microplastics. You know, a lot of these, these fibers in clothes that just break down and find their way back out into the environment. So, I mean, it is a real conversation to have. Also, in a lot of countries now, I think like Amazon workers are going on strike for Black Friday because of completely unethical working conditions.
Yeah.
And so, There's another, it's huge, Amazon. You know, that's a huge behemoth. So sort of like...
It's actually just been referred to as like a complete takeover of shopping in the world generally.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So, no, I think these are all really, really valuable things to have in mind in this kind of, you know, Christmas crazy shopping season.
And Jay, just quickly, I mean, it's interesting because there's this worldwide push to boycott Amazon by a number of different groups from all sides of politics, to be honest. I mean, is a boycott actually effective?
Well, I mean, it could be. I think if you get enough people involved and they make enough noise, it will start to make other people question, especially if they weren't aware of what was going on with Amazon and some of their practices. It makes other people aware of it, and then they can start to also make some further choices about whether they'd like to continue shopping there. So you could definitely get enough traction. You could make a real change.
Someone's texted in, being able to shop sustainably is a luxury that not everyone can afford.
Hack. The Crown has got everyone talking this past week.
There are reports that the royals aren't happy with the depiction of Charles and Diana's relationship.
On Triple J.
Yeah, when you watch a movie or a show based on a part of history, do you leave thinking that's actually how it happened? That's the situation with people watching The Crown at the moment about Queen Elizabeth's life. It's the first time heaps of young people have been introduced to the story of how Princess Diana was treated by the royal family. It's led to young people all over the world trolling the royal family's Instagram page. Call me, is The Crown going to push us into a republic because the family doesn't come off well, or is it just making them even more famous? 1-300-055-36. Give me a call. Remy, you are an actor. How do you feel being in like historical dramas or movies?
Yeah, look, I've been in a couple of them. And, you know, I think it's really important to know that first and foremost, when it comes to story or facts, you're always going to find that, you know, telling a good story is going to come first. In the case of The Crown, costumes second, you know, great locations third, maybe somewhere along the line you want to sprinkle in some facts. Like, that's just how it's going to be.
It's a bit more accurate than that.
But full disclosure, I haven't seen The Crown.
Sure.
But I've been told it's great and to get into it. But yeah, look, I mean, they're trying to tell a good story. And you're going to find that, you know, showrunners are obviously going to use a huge a variety of resources to try and, you know, make this as like factual as they can. But I mean, even documentaries, you'll find, will have an angle. You'll find that even documentaries have a spin. They want to, you know, push kind of a narrative. So this is, I would say, historical fact meets fiction. You've got to accept that, you know, it's not real life.
Yeah, the only place you can get complete fact, impartial reporting is on JJ/the ABC. It's true. Jade, we are going to wrap up soon, but how do you feel about the fact that young people are, getting so invested in The Crown to the extent that now they're trolling the Instagram page of the royal family?
Oh, look, I mean, it's pretty funny. just the fact that, like, the royals, when, you know, you think of Queen Elizabeth and, you know, she's all dressed up with her little hat and her little gloves and the idea of her getting trolled on social media is pretty funny.
So we need, like leave Britney alone, but, leave the Queen alone.
Yeah, it's like, wear pink pearls if you need help or whatever.
So, yeah, but I think Remy made the point before where I think, you know, if you're going to tell a story with the royal family as the protagonist, so you're obviously going to have to make it relatable or create some kind of like sympathy around it. And, you know, everybody knows Diana's story. That strikes a chord like with any audience.
Totally.
But obviously younger audiences have found a new interest in it through Netflix. And if that makes them, you know, more interested in history and the goings on of the past, then that's great. And maybe we can start having more conversations around their role in society.
Yeah, I feel like the Wikipedia pages of all these people have been, you know, going off in the last couple of weeks. Jade Galberger, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Remy He, thank you as well.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And a massive thank you to the Hack team, executive producer Shalala Medora, radio producer Serge Negus, reporters Ange McCormack, Maddie King, Claudia Long, Joe Lauder, and Stephen Stockwell.
Hack
on Triple J.
Oh, we got so many texts during that show. When we were chatting about ethical fashion, Emily in Canberra said, I like to think every time I spend my money, I am voting for the kind of world I want to live in. Someone else texted, what about people buying online and then swapping for wrong size? The carbon cost of buying everything and then sending back via courier and place is truly damaging. That's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that before. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I'll catch you on the next episode.